Keeping Alert in My Meditation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with Meditation. Keeping Alert in My Meditation. That seems to be one of the most difficult things that people have, is to keep alert during a meditation. Now, we think that a meditation is a very traditional, functional thing that we want to keep alert with. There was a story that was told about a little boy, and he was excellent in school, just fantastic in school. And he had lots of friends, and he was just a wonderful young fellow in his first grade. And in the second grade, he just improved and got even better. He was a wonderful student, just a wonderful boy. Everybody loved him. In third grade, his mother took ill and had a terminal illness, and the house was a very unhappy house because her dying made everything rather grim and rather sad for the boy. And he still did well in school. But in the fourth grade, his mother passed on, and his father was fraught with lack of his wife and sorry that she went, and he didn't know how to talk to his son, and he went off his way, and the boy had to be pretty much alone most of the time. Well, the boy lost all sort of motivation and became rather sad in school, in his work. He had no motivation to do his schoolwork. And at home, he had no motivation to do anything at home because his father was never there, and his father didn't appreciate anything that he was going through. So along came the fifth grade. And in the fifth grade, the teacher said to herself, I am going to be the best teacher in the world, and I'm going to love all of my students equally. Well, this young boy was in her class, and he didn't do well in his grade. He didn't do well on his tests, and she put big red F's on his paper, and she was just very upset with him because she knew he could do it, but he wasn't doing it. And he was a very distraught child. He wouldn't get along with the other children. Nothing worked out well at all. And the teacher was very upset with him and thought, what is the matter with this child? All the rest of my students are reasonably good, but this kid, just nothing. And then it was required of the teacher to read the background of each of the students. And she put this student that was rather recalcitrant, she put that student last on her list. She read all the others, and then she read that. She read what happened to him in first grade, how good he was as a student and how well he got along with others. Second grade, likewise. Third grade, not too bad yet, but he read that the mother was very ill and the boy started to act up in school and at home. And in fourth grade, the mother died and the boy just became impossible at school and every other way. And now she was his fifth grade teacher. And she looked at that child and she said, my goodness, where have I gone wrong? Here he is suffering under all of these things, and I'm trying to teach him the 3 hours. And how could I teach him the 3 hours when he's having all of this heartbreak in his own life? And so the teacher began to realize that the boy did have talent and was a good child. She just had gone through some pretty tough experiences. Christmas time came, and all the students wrapped up presents for their teacher. Well, the boy wrapped up presents for his teacher. He took a paper bag that he had used for his lunch, and he put in it a bracelet and a part of a portion of perfume from a perfume bottle. And he gave it to the teacher in its crumpled up way. All the rest of the students had beautiful wrappings, and their presents were so pretty and so new. And when they saw his present, they laughed, because the bracelet had stones missing from it, and the perfume bottle was almost empty. The teacher realized that the boy was doing his best with what he had. And she put the bracelet on and commented how beautiful it was and how very proud she was to wear it. And then she took a few dabs of the perfume and put it behind her ears, and she went on in the class. And at the end of the day, the boy came to her and said, Miss Thompson, thank you so much. That perfume reminds me of my mommy, and I'm so happy that you appreciate it and enjoyed it." And the teacher just was delighted. He was delighted that the boy said thank you for the first time. She realized that a little bit of love and a little bit of caring on her side would do a great deal with him. And so for the next rest of the class, she worked with him as often as she could, giving him all the confidence she could. And by the end of that fifth grade, he was third in his class on level of grade. He was an excellent student and getting along just fine with all the other students. And as time went on, he continued to do that. He graduated from high school, and he sent her a card telling her that she was the best teacher he had ever had. He went on to college, and he graduated from college, and he thanked her again for being the best teacher that he had ever had. He went on to medical school, and he graduated from medical school, and he sent her a card saying that she was the most wonderful influence on his life. And then he got married, and his father had died, and his mother, of course, was gone. So he sent the teacher a note and said, "Would you please do me the honor of filling in for my mother and sitting on the family for the groom, because you're the only family I have." And she was thrilled to do this and did it. She found that as she worked with this young man, as she loved him, as she helped him to meditate on things of benefit to him, as she herself lived a life of teaching the students, not just teaching the 3 hours, but teaching the students, she too gained the greatest insight into meditation she ever had in her life, because she found that deep within herself was this reservoir of all power and all good. Deep within herself was this totality that could be expressed so beautifully and so wonderfully that she didn't even know it. And she passed that on to all students as the years went by. But this one boy whose life she touched so early in the game, changed her life forevermore, and she changed his, because he learned to meditate on the positive things in his world and bring them forth. And she learned to meditate on teaching children, not just teaching education, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. We all can learn a little bit of a lesson from this. If we want to learn to meditate, we will find that keeping alert in my meditation is easy when we are sufficiently motivated, when we are sufficiently directed in what it is that we want to do. What is it that we would like to accomplish in our meditation? One of my students, who is currently in prison, he wrote and he said he is in his monastery, and there he has much time to meditate and much time to be at peace. And he likes to walk down the yards of the prison yard there, because he can be moving and he doesn't have to talk to anyone, and he can listen within, and he can meditate, and he can have a moving meditation, which he finds so very beneficial. It is something that keeps him very much alert as he is in his meditation. What is the meditation technique most beneficial to you? To me, the most beneficial meditation is that 100% of my life is spent in meditation, because I'm always thinking about things, and to meditate means to think about. What is it that you're thinking about? Are you thinking about beneficial things, or are you thinking about things that might limit you? Empower the beneficial things, and let that empowerment be the most beautiful, wonderful experience of your life, leading you into the fulfillment of every good and wonderful thing that is so rewarding and so fulfilling and so endorsing of who you are. Keeping alert in my meditation? It's the easiest thing in the world when I am interested in what I meditate upon. Think on these things for yourself, and watch the magic, the mystery, and the wonder take place for you in all your meditations as they do in mine. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.